Hello and welcome to episode 119 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
Yes, we are. This is Fat Asian and I play Protector to Minoth. Pretty sure that's when I'm playing in the LCQ. Unless good. Keith beat me over the head with a hammer.
You should play Convergence of Zeros in the LCQ.
I don't own any models.
Well, get some.
I actually do own some models. But they're not put together.
This is Keith and I play Krix.
This is Josh. I play Mercs.
This is Chad and I play Trolls.
Crumpet Circle.
Yay! Last podcast was kind of mopey, so we're going to bring the energy back and have some fun.
With?
I don't know. What were you talking about this episode?
Retribution Dojo?
No.
Well, while you guys talk about that, or
actually, this is the topic, because we actually had a podcast or a forum topic on our forums where somebody was like, why is Krix okay?
Oh, we're going to talk about this.
They're not.
No, they are.
They're totally not.
They're totally fine.
The Warwitch Siren and the Bloodhag are not.
God, I do hate the Warwitch Siren so much.
Oh, she's fine.
But we're going to talk about kicking Krix in the junk. Because I feel like... Yeah! I feel like that's pretty good. And we'll get into that subject anyway. That's what we're going to talk about today, is just things that you can do to deal with Krix. And this is kind of, I would say, more a newbie-focused segment, because Krix is overwhelming for newer players. Because their one strategy is really strong, and it's pretty easy to execute to a competent level. You know, maybe not a tournament winning level, but a competent level. Run your stuff forward, kill with what's left.
Yeah, the peace guard plan is pretty straightforward.
Also as a new player against Krix, you have the Chad quote of, why does X Krix model have Y rule? Which you focus on what they do have rather than what you can do to combat what they have.
Yep, but there's definitely some design elements in Krix that make it very newbie-friendly to play and very newbie-unfriendly to play against. So,
do we want to talk about what Krix strengths are, what Krix weaknesses are, how do you want to start?
I don't know. I guess we could start with what their strengths are, which is...
Go, Keith.
Inexpensive infantry that does a lot of work. And I would say that most of their infantry is designed so that if you deliver half a unit... It's going to do the work of a full unit.
It's
roughly.
Krix is unique, in my opinion, in that it's the one faction where, like, you have units that just do everything. Like, they can kill, they can match up on your units and kill your units, or they can match up on your armor and easily destroy your armor. And a lot of other factions have to pick and choose. Like, this unit can do this or this thing, but not both.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, they do have a very dynamic stable of troopers and a pretty horrible stable of warjacks.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
we have troopers that can do everything and then warjacks that do nothing.
Troopers that can do everything and then casters that further enable said troopers. Dark Guidance, Mechanothralls, really tilting.
Yeah, so what happens...
so good.
So what happens in a lot of games, you know, you're a Joe Blow new player, you sit down against, you know, your opponent, and they lay down their Krix army, and then you get charged on turn two by Satixis Raiders, and then you're gummed up by Satixis Raiders, and you spend the whole game completely frustrated by these stupid Satixis Raiders that are on your business.
I still remember the first time I played Keith, I was playing my Damiano list. Like, I had a rough idea of what Satixis Raiders did. And he ended up winning very easily on scenario because my army just got, like, deployed or, like, formed up into this tight little triangle. I was, like, scared of Satixis Raiders, like, coming in from both sides or whatever and, like, trying to stay out of threat range to shoot and just never entering in the zone. And it was miserable, miserable massacre. It was a horrific game.
I enjoyed that game.
Keith is like, this is a teachable moment. So I guess the easiest way to describe this is we should just describe what is Krix's basic game plan. And their basic game plan is to overwhelm you with numbers of things that can do a lot of nasty things to you and get across the field and engaged with you because they're probably going to be superior in a melee fight in general, particularly with the debuffs that they have.
There's a phenomena when you play against Krix that occurs with almost every Krix army, I would say. It's particularly evident with Terminus, and then to one degree or another, all the other casters. But there's a critical turn where the Krix player moves the majority of their army into your threat ranges, but does not make a significant number of attacks. And that you have to have that turn. You have to engineer that turn to happen, where the Krix player acknowledges and gives you your strike without making a significant number of attacks of their own. And they may engage a lot of things, like Satixus Raiders may run in, or other troops may run in and get to engagement. But there should be a turn where you have threat range to do a lot of damage to the Krix player, where you did not take a significant amount of damage. And that's the point in time when what you do on that turn determines the remainder of the game. How you dig out of the Krix player saying, here's everything, you can't kill everything, so what do you kill? And based on what you do kill will determine whether or not the rest of the game is going to go well for you.
That's why I love me some Gristle. Because you kill everything and then you don't give them anything.
Yeah. So there are some things that can capitalize on that pivotal turn very well, and there are some things that don't do it very well.
Right. And then, I mean, new Krix players sort of learn how to play that way just by they get success, it gets reinforced very quickly that if they just run their stuff across the table, like, stuff's going to happen, and it's probably going to be beneficial to them.
Because yep. the standard response to run everything at you is, well, get rid of the stuff in front, keep attacking the stuff in front until I run out of attacks. And that usually is exactly what the Krix player wants you to do.
And this is actually one of the reasons why Krix is successful, is they flood the field with bodies that are fairly cheap. I mean, Blood Witches are a 4-6 unit, Mechanothralls are a 3-5 unit that replenish.
So I think the thing is, like, the forum post that was made was, they actually, I think everyone knows why Krix is good.
Yeah, but let me finish my thought.
Go for it.
The problem is, typical lists don't put out enough attacks to severely, or lists that are not designed to put out a lot of low-value attacks, a high-volume number of attacks, suffer against Krix. And you can, you know, up your attack count with AoEs because, you know, one AoE attack might hit two or three or four models. You can do it with sprays. You can do it with inexpensive troops that do a lot of attacks because of the number of troops that you have. But there's a lot of ways to up the number of models that you're attacking on any given turn. And what you need against Krix is a high volume of attacks. And they don't have to necessarily be really good attacks, because a lot of Krix stuff is kind of fragile, to be honest with you, if you can get a hold of it. You know, Bane Thralls have pretty much victim stats. Bane Knights, too.
Once you surmount the stealth barrier for Bane Thralls, they go down pretty easy.
Yep. So Banes in general, you know, they're Def 12, very easy to hit. Mechanothralls are victims. Bile Thralls, victims. So Satixus Raiders are sort of the exception to the rule. They're a tarpit because they have pretty exceptional defensive stats, particularly against guns and AoEs, so, which is why you see them so much. but most new player lists are designed with, like, several heavy jacks, which cannot output a lot of attacks. You have 9 points for something that, if you give it 3 focus, can make maybe 5 attacks.
And if placed in the wrong spot, will die to a fraction of its cost in points from the Krix player's investment.
Yep. So what Krix does is it creates... So most new armies, right, are like these big stompy robots, and you play with your friend or whatever, and if they play their big stompy robots against your big stompy robots, you sort of at an equilibrium point, everything's fine. Krix is the faction that's most likely to break a person out of that beginning stage and move them into a high volume of trooper models, where you actually have to start thinking about list construction a little bit differently, I think. And I think that's wherein lies the problem with Krix, is that people just don't... Once you understand what Krix is trying to do and you start building for Krix or build lists that are good against Krix, it's not so bad. You have a game. Sometimes you have a really advantaged game, and those are really fun. I think it's really funny how Signar can just, like, oh, man, give me Krix. Like, you know, they're just like, let me sit down in front of Krix. I've got EK.
G. Haley, one time, Krix. Yeah. One time. Really? I'm going to go to a tournament and never play against Krix?
Only when you bring P. Haley.
Yes. The second you don't, you're like, why, God? Yeah. Why have you forsaken me? Oh, God.
Okay.
So nobody else is going to say anything? I'm going to have to talk this in, like, this is a monologue?
I thought you were going somewhere else.
I was just starting the conversation off with what Crix does, and that's just overwhelming numbers of low-cost things that suck.
Right.
Well, actually, yeah. They don't suck. They do a lot of damage.
I mean, your sort of monologue there exemplifies what, since we're basing this off of that, why is Crix okay thread, what Pagani pretty much summed up as why Crix is okay is they have the same game plan. It's very predictable, and so you can plan for it. And it's actually like Crix drives the meta.
The frustrating part of that, though, is that you do have to plan for it, and it skews you to the point where you have to have a list that can deal with Crix's game plan, but that doesn't necessarily mean it can deal with the lists that a lot of other people put out.
No, that's actually untrue. If you can deal with Crix, you almost automatically often pick up Cador, Retribution, Mercenaries, and certain other factions lists because they like to spam a lot of troops as well. Sure. So if you're good at clearing troopers, like
yeah,
so you end up picking up all of those other factions in the wash.
In the crossfire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they bring like a Retribution list with a bunch of Disco and Mega Mittens, or you play against the people that aren't playing Kador, Retribution, and Mercs, which is the vast majority of the field.
Even Disco with a bunch of Mega Mittens is really only good against the blast damage answer. That's not the only answer to infantry. So, like, I'm just saying, if you play things that sweep a lot of infantry really well, which is either a lot of POW 10 shots, which is why Signar is particularly good at it.
Right.
Especially with something like Deadeye. I mean, I've seen you play Damiano lists with, you know, Gun Mages and Nis and just clear infantry like a boss every single turn.
Absolutely.
And same concept, right? Like, you're not going to really care if they have Disco and Mega Mittens around all their infantry. It's still all going to die.
No, I care if their arm, like... I care if they're, like, arm 19. Like, my POW 10 shots don't do anything against arm 19 troops. Like, there are infantry matchups that are bad for a gun line of POW 10. Against trolls, that list is terrible, right? Like...
It can be. Yeah. If they bring Fen Blades, I feel like it's fine. If they bring like Warders, you're just like, oh, a miserable meat mountain.
Right. So it's just my point isn't that like it's awful, like this is a reason Crix is OP. That's not what I'm saying.
No, my point is your statement that building a list for Crix doesn't help you. It helps you in a lot of matchups is what I'm saying. If you're good at clearing infantry to the point where you can handle a typical Crix list, it gives you strength against a lot of lists that you see out there.
That is true.
That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to tackle the Crix problem because it actually tackles the meta problem because infantry spam is a thing for multiple factions. I mean, we saw a counter list with 48 Doom Reavers just the other day.
Needed more Doom Reavers.
Yeah. If you're good at killing infantry, those 48 Doom Reavers aren't near as scary. It's pretty bad, though, when you have, like, four heavy jacks, and you're just like,
Or when you have no way to fix command checks.
Right.
You're like, is one of my heavy jacks the Thunderhead? Damn. Yeah.
Even that guy.
Is he immune to charges?
Well, just sad reach doesn't allow you to pulse as many dudes.
Yeah, that also happens.
Yep, I mean, I don't know.
It's like not like you can be like 12 tough checks.
Yeah. So that's actually one of the reasons why I really like Keith's Denny Pirates list. Is it's sort of outside of the mold of most Crix lists. It's still a lot of infantry, but it's not melee infantry, so you don't get that extra turn of like...
Right. So as a Crix player, what I'm looking at is I know what the average anti-Crix plan is, what can I do in list construction to baffle that?
Yeah, the answer is not play more jacks, by the way.
No,
can be.
Tom Guan disagrees.
I want to briefly talk about Tom Guan for one second, just for a minute.
I
so you've watched those videos.
Yeah.
Has anyone else here watched Tom Guan's Gen Con videos? The game he played against Clifton Klein, it's about a 50-minute game.
I was positive he was screwed.
No. So here's how that went down. Clifton went first, and feeded turn two to jam his entire army past the zones into Tom Guan's, like, more Neverlist.
With Grissel 1 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then only about 10 minutes of the game have elapsed so far, and then Tom Guan goes into the tank.
He uses, like, 30 minutes of his death clock.
No, it's literally 20 minutes, and I'm just like, this video should have been edited, and just been like, 20 minutes later, because Tom Guan goes into the tank, and, like, takes actually, like, 8 minutes to allocate his focus. I'm just like, well, this is clearly death clock. Okay. And he just goes into the tank, and it's gotten to the point where he's been in the tank for so long that I'm not sure if he's drowned.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, Tom. I don't see a way out of this either.
Is he drowned? Does someone need to give him CPR? And then he bursts out of the tank, and this plan starts to unfold, and you're just like, oh, I see it. This is amazing. And then
he
was just like, and kill them on bottom of two. And I was just like, nice.
It was both that game and the game against the Kator player.
Did he also tank the other game?
He tanked. Like, he tanked deep. I was like, this is... Because I wanted to watch it because I was like, no one... Like, Keith doesn't really like Martin Nebra, so I've never really seen Martin Nebra played. And I was like, you know, like, I hear people talk about her. I wonder what she's all about. Maybe... I bet Tom Guan can teach me what she's all about. And after watching them, I was like, she's all about playing on death clock. That's what she's all about.
Yeah.
Like, given enough time, she can win any scenario. It's just on a long enough timeline.
It's like every game is one of those puzzles they used to put in the no quarters.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
Both of them, yeah. There's exactly one solution to this puzzle.
She always has Morten Ebra is one of those chip in a chair casters. She always has an assassination out.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to deny.
If you go to watch Tom Guan's videos, where you stop seeing tape measures, fast forward till you start seeing tape measures again. And that is literally 20 minutes of the 50-minute video.
There is a long period of pause where he's just like flipping his focus in his hands and thinking. That's definitely.
It was awesome, though.
It was.
See him emerge from the tank with a glorious plan of...
Yeah, so if you're not familiar, his Morten Nebra list is definitely one of those break outside of the Crix box, and it's with Jax. And this is something that you can do because your opponent's going to come at you with that high volume of low power attacks, because your other list is like Peace Car and a jillion infantry. They're going to be like, well, I have to be able to shoot all that to death. And you're like, ha-ha, Morten Nebra with lots of Jax. And so he's got the Leviathan and a Warwitch Siren, which allows you the 8 focus, boost all 3 Leviathan shots with rerolls at a caster. It's a pretty good assassination. Mm-hmm. 1 or 2 Stalkers in the list?
There are two.
2 Stalkers, which are 17 and a half inches dangerous to a caster with Grievous Wounds and rerolls.
Also fully boosted hit melee attack.
Grievous Wounds, rerolls, yep. And Arcane Assassin.
Yep. And
there's a nightmare,
a
death jack.
And a death jack.
There is a 4-point arc node, the not gun one, the PAL 13.
The death ripper.
Yep.
And then a hell diver.
Minimum blood witches plus UA. And that's the list.
So the blood witches are there for the hags so you can get through.
Yes.
Form your way through tar pits.
Yep.
As well as the pretty hilarious on our feet turn with death strikes.
Also true.
They become pretty reliable. I thought about doing that with blood weavers and Morvana. Because, like, most stuff is about, like, 40% chance to kill itself.
To get
itself.
Him with the death strikes?
Yeah. With its strength plus 2d6, a lot of models in the game are about 40% to kill themselves.
Hmm.
So, with her feet and the rerolls, like in the Clifton Climb video, they just destroyed a unit.
They annihilated a unit of
death strike. Yeah, fin blades just were popcorn.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
That's interesting.
I would have actually... I mean, I'm sure he's done the research, but I would have actually initially questioned whether or not the rerolls worked on that.
They do, because it says all attack and damage rolls, right?
Yeah, if it says, unless it says attack damage rolls, then you'd be...
Oh, right. I know you can do it with Morvana, so...
Okay.
I love when Cliff asks, what's Morten Nebra's feet do? And he's like, it's Morvana's rerolls, but I don't cut myself.
Is that what he said? I missed that.
Pretty great. But yeah, I mean, definitely a list that...
That's one way to get a breaks. And I think right now, and it oscillates, because the meta oscillates. So as a Crix player, you're looking for whether the standard Krix plan is better or the alternate Krix plans are better. And it changes. Like, I've definitely run into a lot of situations where I've got my goofy Krix list, and I'm like, God, I wish I just had some Banes right now. Like, I brought all this, like, finicky stuff, and I just need Bane Thralls.
You're just like, I'm all teched out.
Have them. And that was a mistake. But then other times when people are completely prepared for the Bane Thralls and not ready for the goofy stuff. So, I mean, playing Krix, it's you got to read the field at the higher levels. But at the lower levels, the Krix plan is pretty good.
The anti-Krix plan is pretty good, too.
At the middle level of play, the anti-Krix plan is almost as straightforward as the Krix plan.
Let's not. A lot of cases. The anti-Krix plan is not just high volume. It's not just limited to high volume of, like, powered 10 or so attacks, right? The reason that a gun line is good is because you have a high volume of those attacks and they can reach deep, right? Mm-hmm. So also things like acrobatics, the ability to move past that initial jam and into the second line of, like, Banes or whatever the case may be, the stuff that they're coming with behind. Like you said, the Krix player wants to run their Satixus Raiders and jam you, right? Yep. And they're going to jam the Satixus Raiders down your throat and you're going to hack futilely away at them, and then the Banes are going to hit you. So if you have a way to reach past that jam, that's what you want to be looking for in the list. Oftentimes, guns is the most obvious answer, but like I said, things like acrobatics, things like incorporeal models, anything that can move deep and get attacks deep, that's you want that as well.
So maybe we should talk about some specific examples of good anti-Krix lists that some of them will be obvious and some of them maybe not so, I think.
So we can just run faction by faction. Like, Signar is pick Signar stuff. You win.
Yeah,
good choice.
Also,
whoa.
Sometimes your casters even, like, take it to another level. So you have, like, you know, gun mages. Well, gun mages just by themselves are really good against Krix.
Gun mages, rangers.
Black 13,
yeah. Long gunners.
Sentinels.
Storm lances.
Stormwall. I don't know about Stormwall. He's scratching his
head. No, Storm Lances, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, Electro Leaps kill.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, they out-threat most Krix stuff, and the average Storm Lance charge kills 3 infantry or more each.
Right, fair enough.
So, yeah.
It adds up in a hurry.
Storm Lances are just fine against
Krix. Fair enough.
Yeah. Use them as a shooting unit. It's even better.
Yep. Ride by attacks, move up, shoot Electro Leap, move back.
Kill 2 models per shot, and then be out of threat range.
All right.
But yeah, and then if you really want to, like, if your buddy is beating you up with Krix and you really want to punish him, just play Epic Kane. And then they'll just hate life forever.
Especially if it's a Krix list that doesn't have any shenanigans, where Kane is just like, he can just measure to see that he's outside of threat range of everything.
Yep.
He's like, I'm just going to stand here and shoot 10 times.
You just start with Epic Kane, you put in the Black 13th, and you put in a unit of gun mages, and then you just, whatever else, doesn't really matter.
So
Rangers. Boom.
You got on this whole kick about, like, you're talking about all the ways to beat Krix, and you said that this was spawned from that thread. So did we actually even really address that thread? I guess you're sort of implicitly saying that Krix is okay.
Yeah.
Because there are all these ways of beating them.
Yeah. You just have to be prepared for it. And a lot of people,
and you're,
you don't come out naturally prepared when you first start the game for them. You have to think about it.
So you think it's okay that I'm just going to take a devil's advocate here?
Mm-hmm. I know. Weird.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Say,
I actually think Krix is okay. But
certain parts of Krix are not okay. But
you think that it, you so you say that they're okay, but you have to be prepared against them.
Yeah, because they're going to play the most because. Effective Krix lists are skew lists.
So it's okay for there to be a faction in the game that wins if you're not prepared against it. And
there's a lot of factions in the game that
there
win.
There are.
Yeah. If you're not prepared. Yeah. You ever tried to kill an armor 24 galleon if you're not prepared for it?
I was prepared for it.
I was not prepared.
It still
and
did
I
not die.
I did not like how that thing touched me. I'm telling you that right now.
Every faction has at least a couple different builds that you lose if you're not prepared. I mean, that's just the nature of skews. Krix lends itself to skews more so.
Krix is the first skew you're going to see, the first one you're going to run into.
Because the more a new Krix player, as the as we talked about last podcast, the tendency for new players to bounce away from things that they lose with. As a Crix player, they're going to be like, Slayer's a no, nope, not playing those anymore. Seethers, oh god, they're even worse. Deathjack, oh, he's okay. Banes, though, oh, those work. So it's just going to be like, eventually, Crix just works itself into naturally becoming a skew. Like, as a new Crix player, if you have no input from anyone else in about 20 games, you'll be playing the stereotypical Crix skew. We'll just emerge from that.
I want to put it this way. I do think Crix is okay. I think it in the same way that I think Hordes and Fury is okay, which I legitimately do.
I do.
Because
that's
I play
fine.
That.
Yeah. I play it.
But the way that I always see it come down is it always seems to affect new players much more than anything else that I've ever seen. Like, every time I play the game, there's basically two things that new players complain about. And it's like, one, it's the Fury system.
Yep.
If they're War Machine players, or it's Crix. It's just those two things. And I'm not sure if at times that is... I think it's okay for like the greater game, but I don't know how to deal with that or how to handle that. Like, do we need to have a disclaimer in the game for new players? This game is balanced, but when you're fighting against Crix, you got to know some stuff. So we're going to tell you that before, you go into the game, because if you don't, you're going to have a bad time.
I think the disclaimer for the game is more like the game is balanced at 50 points at a high level of play. Below that high level of play, the game is probably not balanced. So if you and I both sit down, and you sit down with a Crix list and I sit down with a typical minions list, and it's your first game and my first game, the Crix list is probably going to win.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
I think probably is the right
Depends word. How many Gatorman posse you're in that list, because you got a fighting chance with the posse. Yeah. But, But Banes kill them just fine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway. I don't think the game is very well balanced for Mangled Metal. I don't think it's very well balanced for player games. I don't think it's very well balanced I don't think it's super balanced at 35 points. There are some factions that have a real leg up at 35 points over some of the others, I think.
I actually notice more the factions that struggle at 35, more so than the ones that are particularly strong at 35.
Yeah.
Like, there are factions that are like, 35 points. All right, I'll just cut this and this, and my list maintains most of its effectiveness. Or, 35, I can build this kind of really cool skew that's really tough to handle at 35. And then there are factions that are like, 35 points.
No, thank you.
Crap.
Yeah. I'm sure Chad's over here going, pick me, that's me.
Well, I played some troll lists.
My point is that I wonder that how good it is. I don't know. I maybe it's just because it's definitely like something that I've complained about. I've given my fair share of complaints about Crix in the past.
No.
Yeah.
I gasp.
And
I'm just gonna keep saying.
I don't know. It's been, my thoughts have wavered on it. And I have said, multiple times, I do believe the game is balanced. And so I think that it's fine. It's fine, but it affects certain people in ways that I don't know how to show them that. Trying to get them to come around to it, I guess.
Yeah, there are some factions where their answer to Crix is
not obvious.
Not obvious or intuitive. For example,
Scorn.
Yeah, we can go there first. Actually, I think they're a little bit obvious, but.
Is it more bronze specs?
Does Trevor and Nick disagree with you about that?
No, actually, I think they'll actually agree with this. Epic Hexerus is actually a fine Crix drop because of two reasons. Number one, he's got Ashes to Ashes, which helps clear infantry. And number two, he's got Black Spot, which is actually more important.
It's like volume of attacks in a bottle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also the -2 defenses are really big. So it also makes your attacks more effective because, honestly, Crix does not live on armor. It lives on defense. So lowering their defense is a big deal. So if you build Epic Hexerus, for example, with things like Drakes, suddenly...
How many?
Yeah, two or three is probably plenty. You know, a black spotted unit, some drakes, some boosts, like their units are going to evaporate really quick, and then you just have to have good screens to stop your drakes from getting charged, and eventually you win that game.
Incendiary.
Yeah, Incendiary I are also very, very good.
That's pretty.
Yeah. We could also mention the good old staple of Nihilators. Berserk is...
Those are okay. The problem with Nihilators is they don't get very deep.
I really liked Nihilators with Lanterns when I was watching Colin play Mordekaiser.
Yeah, because of the revive. Because,
yeah, he'd revive one into engaging four or five Bane Knights, and I'd just be like, oh, that's going to be great.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So,
and you just need to not have crappy dice, Colin.
That's one of those non-obvious good Crix matchups, Mordekaiser, because, number one, they don't typically remove your upkeeps. They can, but you can also get rid of the ways that they have to remove your upkeeps.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that talking to Jason Watt, like, the Mordekaiser list that he designed it to be an anti-Crix list, and it's pretty interesting. That revive gets to be pretty powerful when you're reviving things that berserk, or he also has a unit of the shield wall guys with Vorkesh, so they can't be debuffed.
Yep.
So suddenly now they're like armor a lot and difficult to get to, and they sort of make them a bunker for your caster. And then you just play a game where you just slowly kind of wear them down. Like, you just kill stuff every turn,
also,
reviving dudes and making money.
Sprays are very useful against Crix too, and he has Essence Blast, so you can have like Nihilator kill like three or four models, and then just be like, "And Essence Blast that guy," which is pretty good.
Yeah, I like that actually.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, that's a non-obvious solution to Crix. I know that P. Hexaris has been touted as an answer to Crix, and he's not very good against Crix lists that have the girls in it, the Satixus Raiders.
Yeah, there are. Crix lists that you run into that just don't, he doesn't work against. It happened with my Epic Denegra list, which is like, Satixus Raiders don't kill each other. They're just real bad at it.
Yep.
And killing the Satixus Raiders is hard enough to get moving in the first place, where you've got a double problem with the feet here. And then the worst one that he can hit is Scar 1. Because if she has to just time her feet right, so the turn that Hexaris wants the feet the most, he can't. Or if he does, you're like, all right, you killed one of my Satixus Blood Witches under my feet. Good job. Now she falls out of the feet because it's an aura, and she's yours now. And she's gonna attack one of the other Blood Witches. Okay, she needs a 7 to hit. All right, you got it. Now you need a 9 to kill her.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's awful.
Mm. Have a nice day.
It's really bad.
Yep. But yeah, those... So, yeah. I mean, you're... In Scorn, you have to build a list specifically to deal with Crix. Otherwise, you lose. And the other reason why is, if you deal with a typical Scorn list, like an elephant herd, you're like, I've got Resheth with like four elephants. Look at this. And Crix is like, cute. Parasite that. Kill it with three guys. My elephant kills 6 guys. That's a really good turn for an elephant. I killed 6 guys. Sweet. Good job out of you, buddy. Parasite that guy. 3 more of my guys kill your elephant.
Yeah. How many more guys do you have over there?
Like, 48 more to go.
You know, I've only got 2 more elephants.
Yeah. Yep. So that's... you have to get outside your comfort zone. But here's a really good example of a non-obvious solution to Crix, and that is... And another revive caster, but Maelok actually is a very decent Crix matchup. I don't know that it's a really good Crix matchup, but it's darn decent for Gators. And the reason why is, throughout the course of the game, you get to revive one Gatorman Posse every turn. And Gatorman Posse kill 2 Crix things a turn apiece. So when you're playing your game, if you can get engaged, your Gators are all like armor 18, so a lot of Crix stuff may struggle with that, depending on if they have a lot of Banes. If they're Banes, you kill them really fast because, you know, each of your Gators kills 2 Banes. If it's the girls, a lot of times if they're not charging, they can't really kill Gatorman very well. And then with Death Pact and his feet, like, you get jammed into there pretty good. They can have trouble killing your stuff. And then, like I said, you're reviving a posse every turn, and it doesn't seem obvious. It doesn't seem like you're like, this cannot be a winning proposition. I have 15 Gatormen. They have 50 guys. Like, how am I ever going to chew through all that? But I think what you'll find is your stuff kills enough of their stuff fast enough that you get ahead of them pretty quickly. Takes a couple turns, but it's actually pretty effective. And then you also have his feat, which allows you to charge through their front lines to get really deep and jammed in there, denying a lot of charges too, which also helps. So I've only played a couple games with Maelok, but I was kind of surprised actually how good he was against Krix in general. I was like, wow, this nice. Is not too bad.
That's
not
one of bad. That's one of those where, as the Krix player, you're like, I wish I'd brought an atypical list. Like, Denegro Pirates kind of rolls Maelok.
Oh, yeah, that's... I'm not sure I have an answer for Denegro Pirates in Minions. I have to think about that. Although, my new Rast list got some potential. We should play it.
Maybe you should think about them pigs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Them pigs.
I want to play that Midas list. That list doesn't seem bad either.
The Theme Force.
Yeah.
Trust the Midas touch.
Got the Midas touch.
I was saying earlier, and I've talked about this many times, Gristle's not, she's a really good answer for Krix and Trolls, and that's a pretty typical, you know, bad Krix matchup. And I'd say the two best are Grimm and Gristle. But you guys were talking about, we talked about Jarl a couple of months ago too, mm-hmm. didn't we?
Gristle and Maelok are interesting cases in that they match up reasonably favorably against Krix with basically the Krix plan. They're one of the few casters in the games that can be like, I'm just going to fight you in melee.
My infantry charges you,
Rich. With not a superior number, necessarily, and we're just going to get there.
Yep.
I remember you telling me at one point, you're like, the best thing, like, as a Gatsby player, the most exciting thing that I can see across the table is a bunch of living models running at me.
Right.
So that is typically not what you want to do.
Yeah, that's why when I played Mercs, I was like, Constance Blaze, I love you so much. Why, Epic Lich? Why? This is the unwinnable matchup. He's just got, like,
Vanishing Ward.
Oh, yeah, he only has, in that case, 42 Excarnate targets instead of, you know, the 58 or whatever.
Are you cutting them down?
Yeah. I like that positivity.
Make
sure
after
the first Excarnate target, there's only going to be, like, 30 more.
Yeah, we're moving on up.
Yeah. Just down. Make sure he gets the turn he gets the biggest purge. You've popped your feet.
Yeah. Actually, that's the interesting thing with the Maelok list, that I borrowed it from Ricard. No Excarnate targets in that list.
Right, because it's all undead.
It's all undead. I guess you can get to a Witch Doc Rock, but they're usually way in the back. So,
I was going to say, at Circle, I typically do not care too much about, like, Krix as a matchup as a whole. A lot of the casters in that faction inherently have tools built in to kill a lot of infantry.
I can give you three lists that just raffle stomp Krix. Obviously, Will Pagani's Chromac list is really good against Krix.
Need to be atypical to fight that one.
Yep. P. Kruger in general is really good against Krix.
Sometimes being atypical is not enough to beat that guy.
And Cassius is also really strong in the Krix matchup.
Well, the other thing that Circle has going for him, and Legion kind of a little bit as well, is that high defense can be a problem. Like, yep. we haven't mentioned that yet, but you know, like, high defense models, you engage with Nis Hunters, you engage with Kiazi, like, you get up to defense 15 and they start having a hard time hitting you, except for Peace Gar's troops.
I would agree.
And Bile Thralls.
Except for all of the casters that get consistently played in Krix have a very good mat fixer. Except for Epic Lich, who just has Bile Thralls, which is...
Yep.
So, and the problem is, like, Circle models cap out at 14.
Right.
Like, they're not... They're, like, the high def faction, similar as Kador being the high armor faction. They are the high base defense faction.
Sure.
But it caps out pretty much at 14.
Pretty much.
It gets a little higher with Epic Kai. But, like...
You can go higher against shooting.
Yeah.
With ease, but not against melee, really.
Right. That's... Yeah, oftentimes one of my Circle lists will just be... Morvana 2 actually has a pretty... Or Morvana 1 actually has a pretty good Krix matchup, so long as it's not, like, Epic Lich, for the same, like, infantry versus infantry faction. but I have infinite infantry.
Right.
So, and they don't have a way to reliably remove it other than a Blood Witch Hag, which you can pretty easily play around. So, with regrowth.
From a Menoth perspective, if you want to make your local Krix player cry, you just put P-Krios down. And
with guns.
With lots of guns.
We should stay with guns. That's crucial.
I mean, I really like a battle engine because it's really tech to pick out the...
Tartarus.
No.
Edmonia.
No.
Blood Hag.
Nope.
Insert Krix solo here.
It's either Gerlach or...
it's Gerlach.
Or the...
Gerlach.
Let me finish. Or the...
He's doing the no knockdown solo. He's going to say the Satixis.
Oh, the Satixis Raider captain. The Raider captain, because they have no sleeping on the job.
Right.
And if you snipe either of those out and then you feet, that's a time walk on Krix. And if you have a lot of guns, like...
Gerlach has no sleeping on the job?
Yep.
For
what?
Blood Gorgers. Oh. So if you scum up...
Hey, I've seen it.
Yeah, no, that's... Sure. Yeah, I've played against Blood Gorgers. I didn't realize he had no sleeping, though.
I haven't played since they introduced shiny Pokemon. What does that do?
We'll talk later.
Yep, agree.
They're addicted.
My friend just caught a shiny Pokemon.
Might as well face it. You're shiny Alakazam. To...
I love Alakazam.
We'll talk later.
Jesus.
That just killed the conversation. I didn't intend that to happen. I passed it to passed my phone to him in silence.
But Keith can't keep his mouth shut.
I thought he would look at it and go...
That's his best
and
quality.
And passed it back.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I'm sorry, podcast listeners.
What were we talking about? Krix.
Krix. And high defense. And
it was pretty much kind of going through each faction and being like, here's the best I'm going to destroy you option.
Menoth does a lot of... there's a lot of different ways that you can go about it. The battle engine's good for sniping out the no sleeping on the job for P-Krios. P-Krios plus Errance kills a lot of Krix stuff in one turn.
About 22 models.
Not quite that many, but a lot. The Zealots also kill a ton of stuff. And then I often use a Redeemer or Adjudicator because...
Roven nice as well.
Sometimes. Yep. You don't really need Roven, but...
No?
It's good.
It's nice to tilt Krix players by shooting their Tartarus before it does anything.
Like Tartarus and the Hag.
The other thing you can do to foil the average Krix plan is bring a medium number of attacks. Like, you don't have to have a ton... And then a way to stop them dead for a turn. This is the Harbinger Old Witch plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or Haley too.
P. Haley or E. Haley plan.
Or the P. Krios plan. Same thing.
Time walks are good.
Time walks are good.
it's particularly easy to time walk Krix because you can't shake infantry models. Unless you're stupid Bane Thralls. Yeah.
Yep.
But
yep. Yep, yep. Nope.
I once saw a new Kador player freezing grip Bane Thralls. And I was just like, good job, buddy. And then the Bane Thralls subsequently killed Peace Orch. Wow.
That story makes me sad.
You have to get the officer if you're going to go with that plan.
That happened in probably the first tower tournament I played in after the Bane Thrall officer came out. I was playing against Nigel in the finals. And a small group of Bane Thralls were like beating up Behemoth or a Beast O9 against Epic Sorcia, and like they dinged him up, like got him down half to three quarters dead, and then all froze because of her feet, and then he just sort of left them alone. Like Beast O9 went to do other stuff, and they're like, and then they're like, rah, 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 and killed him, and I just like, oh.
I'm sure he was like, what the heck?
I was like, then... And I was like, I picked up the card, and at the beginning of their turn, the Bane Thralls stand up and are no longer stationary. And he's like, say what now? Can I see the card?
It is the only unit in the game that can get rid of stationary effects.
Yeah, they shake.
Yep. It's one of those. It's the same moment that Sorcerer players have against the book, when the first line, the protector player says,
"So glorious." I was playing against
no knockdown, no stationary. Like the second part again.
Yeah, I was playing against Brad from St. Louis in a game.
Say what?
And I was like, "Okay, the book is going to do the no knockdown, no stationary." He's like, "Ooh, what was that second?" He's playing Peace Orsha against me.
Yeah,
what was the second part of that? And I was like, "No stationary." He goes, "It does that."
It's okay, Josh. It's only a 2-point model that just negates your feet. Yeah. It's not that good. Yeah. It's still a favorable matchup for the other.
It's not a problem.
I did say that. And I stand by that statement.
All right.
The book's going to do no knockdown, no feet.
What was that?
I said, you know, just it's going to do no knockdown, no feet.
Excuse you, speak up, please.
That is often what that book does.
Sorcha players, Bart feels you. Bart feels you.
Typhoon.
P. Krios players, I don't feel your pain you also have that option.
Because you have the
book. Dueling books.
Actually, it is kind of annoying when you're playing P. Krios and they have the book.
Okay. This is first world Menoth problems.
Barnabas too, I guess.
Yeah.
Someday I'm going to eat that stupid book.
Critical consume!
You play the Archangel just so you can just straight up consume it.
I do. That's true. Really, that stuff. Really, really want to go back to Rhett.
Just so you can.
Because I didn't get enough opportunities.
Starburst cannon.
To Starburst cannon the book away.
That does sound like fun. Back to Krix. Retribution actually has a fine matchup against a lot of Krix lists if there isn't too much stealth.
Yep. Yeah, Raven or Ron can handle it. Ron can actually handle a lot of the stealthy matchups too. He's got, in addition to Chain Blast, which is really effective against most Krix lists, he's got Polarity Shield, which is effective against Krix. The Phoenixes can get a lot of work done with Combustion.
Mm-hmm.
Battle Mages are good because they have an effective ranged attack to alpha out a lot of Krix. And then...
Also, they kill...
They fight in melee just fine.
They also kill the stupid Surgeons, no problem.
Because
it's not a ranged attack.
Oh, right. Yeah. They need an accuracy boost or an 8.
If only Ron had a feat.
Right.
And plus 2 inches of range. Like, I sniped those guys out, or I used to when I played them. I was like, kill both of your stupid... Yeah.
No, my favorite part about playing Battle Mages was punching stuff to death.
Yep.
Mat 6 beat back. Kadoosh. Kadoosh.
Kill that guy. Beat back what? And kill that guy.
I love the solo is even better because he's got chain attack, or he's got like
combo smite.
Yeah, combo smite.
That guy is a little beater. I'm surprised. There's an underused solo in Retribution. I feel like the Magister solo.
Dude, smiting heavies is so fun.
Yeah, I mean it's just a good solo.
He got a lot of lists that want the slam on demand, not just use banshees.
Yeah. Whip snaps a thing. Kind of like it.
Yeah, he's definitely good.
Yep.
Kador has... We talked about Old Witch. I mean, Kovnik Joe plus your favorite unit of Winter Guard will do a lot of work against him.
Yeah, it's actually why Sorcha 2 is actually a pretty good Krix matchup.
So is Sorcha 1.
No, Sorcha 1 is a bonkers Krix matchup.
Yep, she's super strong. So strong.
Hey, kind of dumb. What other factions are there? We talked about trolls. Mercenaries, Damiano probably is the best Krix matchup.
We talked about trolls.
Dude, it's really weird, but I actually like Bargallion versus Krix.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, it's perfectly acceptable. Typhoon is a really strong feat against Krix, and large.
It's like what he was talking about earlier, if you've got a decent number of attacks. The problem for Bargallion, I think, is the Texas Raiders. That's at least what concerns me. But...
A lot of times, Galleon can pick out the Sea Witch like two shots.
Can.
The time that I played Mercenaries, it was what I felt like the best option against Epic Witch, which is weird. But I was able to spend enough time scalping all the important pieces that I do to my feet.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think Bart is fine. I think Damiano is great, obviously, because Deadeye is just a fantastic spell.
Durgan.
Durgan is good. Carpet Bomb, 4-inch AoEs, gets a lot of work done against non-Texas Raiders. And he can frequently just dome the captain, or the witch, rather. So, yeah, Durgan really good. I mean, Mercs are kind of like Signar Light in a lot of ways. Like, they do a lot of shooting. So, and they also have access to Kiazi, which I don't hate against Signar.
Against Krix?
Or against Krix.
Yeah.
Obviously, Biles are a problem for them, but aside from that, they have that super high defense and the ability to get deep into the line. So,
why can I not take over a Bile Thrall with a Witch Doc Rock and Purge?
You can't. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't Purge. Can't. It's like the same reason Alexia apparently can't do it, you know.
Oh, my God.
Not Mark 1 anymore, guys.
I know. Oh, my God. I just... Gators need that so bad. It would make that Krix match.
Why can
so
people
much
touch
better.
My stuff?
Right? Why is that?
Why don't I have Erasers of Doom?
You kind of still do.
Yeah.
Why don't I have Moving Erasers of Doom?
Legion's plan most often revolves around a time walk. Saren is probably their most obvious Krix fix.
Actually, another really good Krix fix is Lilith 2.
Yep.
Be strong.
You just Kallus feed, seems kill like the world.
Might be okay.
You're kind of playing the same game.
My thought is just the feat takes away the sting of the initial alpha, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously haven't played or seen that matchup played. Just
he's good against Banes. He's not good against the girls.
Yeah.
Because the girls charge in and they're like, kill you. And you're like, turn into an incubus. And they're like, well, I conveniently have this second attack.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Stupid Syntaxis.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to see Peace Guard. She's like, no, 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 no. This is how Dark Guidance works.
Yeah.
Circle we pretty much covered. I mean, Bolt Trackers are amazing in that matchup. So we're Bolt Shrimp.
Yeah, Shrimp are good.
Shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zephyr Aim frustrates me.
But yeah, I mean, the biggest problem with Krix is that they have... Well, actually, there's three. There are three problems that make Krix seem unfair when you start playing the game. They are easier to pilot. They are stronger at lower point games. And... Why am I blanking on
that? They seem to have a lot
of most likely
to
lead into a skew.
Yeah. That may have been it. I may have had something else, but I've forgotten it.
They also seem to have a lot of rules combined that are very synergistic and forgiving of... Like, Syntix is just having Force Barrier.
Oh, and they punish mistakes.
They do punish mistakes. They're just like, oh, you left a 10-point heavy out here. Sweet. Boop.
You're an inch and a half too far forward. And you just lose it. It's not that it takes a bunch of damage, and you learn something. Well, you still get to learn something, but it's not just that it takes a bunch of damage like it does against a lot of other factions. It's
there will be no
like,
heavies
dies.
Alive in two, this dojo.
Two Banes killed my heavy.
Yeah, that's average dice.
Slightly above average.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be. Well,
I yelled
some
at Dave.
Casters.
I yelled at Dave once. You weren't there for this.
No, you've told the
Wait,
story.
Wait, with P. Denny, won't like two Banes kill a heavy?
Not quite.
With
Parasite, three Bane Thralls kill a Bronzeback.
No, and the feat. I was including the feat.
That's only two extra damage per, which is
Aren't
not
they
as
just
much
stacking
as
up, like, almost straight dice at that point?
Another Bane. I mean, they're 3, 5, 7, so dice minus one.
Yeah.
If one of the Banes is two axes.
Yeah. Two axes just kills a heavy. Sup.
Dougal McNeil does.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Do you miss
Warple
any factions?
Stalkers. I mean, oh, God, why?
There's just a lot of ways you can up your volume of attacks relatively inexpensively. Sprays, AoEs.
Dougal McNails.
Powtens, ranged weapons, cheap troopers.
Sprays.
Although, trying to out-cheap troop
not a good
Krix
idea.
Is not always the best plan, although there are lists that can do it. So
depends on which variety of Krix you're playing against.
Indeed.
If you're trying to out-cheap troop them and they've got, like, the Stitchies hiding back there, probably going to have a bad time when the 30th Mechanithral rolls off the assembly line.
You just got to fear God, those Mechanithrals. They get really sad.
If only we all had fear of God.
I distracted the Mechanithrals, but they had Dark Guidance, so it didn't matter that they were met 3 or 2 or whatever it is.
You're like, distract them. You're like, cute, 3 dice.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm still rolling your defense on my dice.
Yep.
Oh, they're so fair. Oh, man. Do you remember when we were playing back in the day, Josh, how much you used to rage about Peace Gar?
It's because she just killed my caster without us playing a game.
That only happened, like, three times.
Every time we played.
It only happened, like, 3 times before.
Mark 1!
Back when Ashlyn had 13 armor, and you were just like, don't need line of sight.
take a power 20. Boosh. 21. Yeah, 21. Sorry.
It was only 20. I didn't have Bane Knights when we were playing.
All right.
They didn't exist.
You remember how excited I was when when Alexia was spoiled and I was just like, I can take over your pile thralls.
Yeah, that's when I quit.
Yep. I don't think we ever played a game where I was able to do that.
In fairness, you disappeared first.
I did.
All right.
That's true.
Still cannot wait till the day where I dominate a Wraith Engine. It'll happen eventually.
I used that spell once to dominate a Kovas.
Oh, that works.
Nice. What did you do with the Kovas?
I mean, he just attacked an Ancestral Guardian and it became unincorporeal.
Oh, it would have been cooler
and
if
I
you...
And I can Stone Strength.
It would have been
extra
cooler.
Extra value.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, one day you need to set it up where you dominate undead a Kovas to go engage their heavy, and then your Earthborn walks up next to it.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I don't take Earthborns. Those are scrub war beasts.
Whoa!
It was worth it for the look on your face, John.
I love the Earthborn.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't. He's impossible to kill.
You just got to build your list for it, Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You just
got
to be ready for that.
I've got one list for Earthborn Maul and one list for Krix. So I hope, I hope there's not another SKU out there that I'm not prepared for.
If you ever want to break your brain, try to think about beating Runes of War and Harby at the same time with the same list.
With the same list?
Yeah, you're just like...
Bart Galleon.
It's not a good plan for minions. You're just like,
maybe you should.
No, this is bad.
Maybe you should dive into pigs.
Maybe.
Sweet.
That was what Ricard and I were talking about. We're like, God, we need to answer this Harby matchup, but not screw up our Runes of War matchup in the process.
I feel like it's more important to answer the Harby matchup than the Runes of War matchup.
Probably
it is, but there are lists that are like Runes of War, which is. Heavy armor.
Sure.
It just depends on your meta.
Yeah.
If you have three Runes of War players in your meta and no Protector players.
Sure.
But
if you go to any
matchup.
Given
convention
you're probably going to see...
One
going to play Harby,
list and
Harby twice,
Harbinger lists.
Three Krix players, and then maybe a Runes of War.
You are not prepared.
That's your magic.
Freaking Harby.
I actually built a Wrath list today with three spitters in it.
Yes,
yeah,
and I got
really
you are one.
Talk about it.
I got Ricard to go like, oh, I actually kind of like this.
You are one away from perfection.
What's
one
that?
Away?
Four spitters.
Four.
That doesn't seem good.
So they can be the Teenage Ninja Turtles.
That's true. That's legit.
Man, not actually.
Yeah.
Can I get the fourth one in there?
Can I fit it in?
I think. I mean, I don't think it's not as good.
You can't. It's a terrible list.
No, it's not a terrible list. Well, it's pretty bad, but it's not terrible. But the thing is, like, I was just thinking about it. The look on your opponent's face when they ask you, really? What is this list? You're like, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then they're going to be like, oh, I'm just going to roll over this guy.
The best is you
could... Is it Rask?
Yeah.
Because Rask, you could probably kind of, like, elongate his nose and
make him into Splinter.
No, that's... You could make Barnabas easily look like Splinter.
Yeah, that's true.
Nah, but it's gotta be Rask.
You pop and drop. Oh, dang it. And then you could play your pig list, and all of your roadhogs could be bebops.
No, I'm not in on that. But I am in.
No one knows. Chad knows.
Yeah, of course I know.
Yeah,
but why would they fight?
No, I'm fine. Screw you guys.
Why would they fight on the same side as the Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles?
They're the pigs. They're the enemy.
Let's see.
They can't fight together.
I could do
fair.
Victor Pendrake like Casey.
Keith.
Whoa. You are jumping ahead. I have to drop
Victor
that bomb.
Pendrake like Casey. That couldn't be more polar opposite. He's a professor.
Lance has faded us out ages
no,
ago.
No, Lance, before you fade us out, I have this amazing thing that hopefully gets fixed, because whenever I point out something terrible on the podcast,
why you think
it
Lance
gets fixed.
Lance is going to edit this podcast after what
after
John said
one.
About him.
I didn't say anything about it. God, you guys, I...
So... Oh, my God.
I hate you.
I know.
I hate everything about you. I don't even know why you're... Why are you in my house?
I don't know. I wasn't invited. I just kind of came down here and picked up a microphone.
I know, right? It's the same way we ended up with Crump. I don't... How do these things happen to me nonstop? Right?
Crump was just like, I want to be on a podcast.
Yeah.
And then he was here. Then he showed up the next time, too.
And we're like, he's like, no, I'm part of this.
No, it was just, at that point, then, I was just convenient.
No. And then we were like, no, Crump, you're not part of this. And then people were like, Crump is my favorite part of the podcast.
We're like, how did...
We're stuck with him. Why? Then now we appreciate you. So on with your announcement.
Yeah.
For those who couldn't hear, Jesus. Colin snort very loud.
So someone recently brought my attention to the Old Witch mirror match issue with Unseen Path, the way it's worded, and you being able to teleport your opponent's Scrapjack or your witch to their Scrapjack, which is really weird. And no one had ever thought of that in the Cassius matchup, so...
So in the Cassius matchup, you can just be like, I teleport to your tree and kill your Cassius.
Or teleport your cat, teleport your Wormwood to my Warpwolf Stalker.
Oh, yeah, that's way worse.
Yeah, you double port your Cassius forward. You nab their Wormwood. Well, first, you probably have to have some guys in the back beat each other up for some souls. So you can nab those. And then he gets double ported forward, grabs their Wormwood, hops back behind their Wormwood, has the Wormwood hop back behind him, or even better... hops back to his own Wormwood and then grabs their Wormwood and drops it back into your back line. And that's just really academic at that point, what you want to do with it. But you can pretty much take their Wormwood from their AD line and dump it back into your deployment zone.
On top of one. It is like the only top of one assassination that currently exists in the game. And it is 100% like consistent.
It's like, it's like pretty much 100% reliable.
I can't imagine a judge on the planet would come up and just be like,
John,
you can't do this.
Here's what Unseen Path reads.
Don't they just have to deploy their tree farther back?
Yeah.
You get them on turn two?
Well, they might get you.
No, here's how it actually plays out.
Cassius Wormwood is like on both this
in
table
the
and
far
and
corners.
Table.
Yeah, they're like both in the corner is the way that would be. Yeah. And you just be like, okay, we're going to have a gentleman's agreement before the start of this game.
Let's just not deploy.
All trees suck.
Let's just not deploy our trees.
Cassius is just leashed. He's like,
he can fully operate without the tree.
Oh, can he? He can get away from the tree?
It's just,
he just
your feet,
doesn't have a feet.
Neither of you have a feet.
Oh, okay.
And he
doesn't really do much against Circle.
And
anyway.
He's shackled to his Fury 6.
Right. So one Hellmouth.
Yeah. So, Privateer Press, please fix that.
I actually was talking about how I wanted John to run a tournament and arrange with Crump ahead of time so that if he ran into a Cassius mirror, like, you'd be like, all right, the round's actually going to start, like, 10 minutes after the round really starts. But I'm going to let Crump just, like, turn one, assassinate, like, the Cassius player and come over and, like, read the card and be like, yep, that's legit.
I mean, the way it is currently worded, it is 100% legit.
I can't imagine any, like, TO would just be like, yeah, that's okay.
I'd allow it.
John,
if it was against Crump.
Allow
right.
Me.
Well, yeah, naturally. Yeah.
All it says is Unseen Path can be cast only while Wormwood Tree of Fate is in this model's control area. And then it places Wormwood within 2 inches of this model.
There's some precedent for that, though, because... and the language is specific to this particular type of rule, but it creates a precedent. With the affinities, like Nightmare gains stealth while within Denegra's control area is what it says. But you don't stealth your opponent's Nightmare.
That would be better.
If you did stealth your opponent's Nightmare.
And actually don't even stealth a Nightmare that's controlled by another Warcaster. Because there's language in, I think it's actually in affinities.
It is.
But the precedent exists.
The problem is that in the affinity rule, it talks about that.
Right.
Whereas there's not a rule for Unseen Path. So my easy fix for them was change the wording on Unseen Path so it'll be the same on all casters, and it'll say Unseen Path can only be cast while this model's companion, because companion is a rule printed on Scrapjack and Wormwood.
Right.
Did they send you an email or personally call and thank you for that easy fix?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Dude, the last time I called something,
I can't wait to read Rin's post. Like, no, they fix this, Doomcough. Like
3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, Rin, suck it.
No, I like Rin. You can't talk like that to my friend.
I was going to give a shout out to Renth and Daughter of Frankenstein and
Danny
Goodner for the excellent mercenary thread that I have quite enjoyed.
I haven't checked it since it first got birthed.
I didn't see it.
Oh, Danny posted on the.
Let me just read it.
I didn't see the title. Was it in Muse or
No? It was on the mercenary forums on Privateer Press. But can you guess what Danny Goodner would have posted on that forum?
Well, I know what it's about. He told me what it's about. I just don't know what the title is.
The title is "Let Me See If I've Got This Right."
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is God. No. Pretty sure I got this right.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Pretty sure.
Pretty sure I got this right. P-Mags cast snipe on D&B, then Bull does his knockdown gun and gets a crit. Then the freebooter gets to charge in and be like, sup, with trash. So basically it's like Mullet Karn with the feet because you can run away afterwards. Thoughts?
Oh my God. Why do we unleash that? Danny Goodner had not trolled anybody for like a year.
I know.
Or like 6 months. Well, maybe like 4 months. That might have been like 2 months. But still, he had been troll free for 2 months, and we gave the drunk a drink. What have we unleashed on the world? This is not good.
Glad I was able to give.
Was the mercenary forums then like freebooters? Sweet.
there was a lot of people like, I guess, but you could just take a buccaneer and like assure that you have the knockdown.
No. It was Vitzkus. Take him with a dwarf caster running the Earthbreaker. That thing is a knockdown on a stick if I ever saw it.
Also that.
Yeah. Vitzka is delightful. I've always enjoyed his post. Mullet Karn is perhaps not the comparison I would have gone with, but provided you get a critical with Bull, it works in a certain sense of the word.
No,
I love the inflection.
No, Daughter,
the assumed inflection. Yeah.
Daughter of Frankenstein's amazing. You can take Rochenbrine with a Roadhog and save your feet, though. So you can save your feet or stack your feet with Sprint and Jerry Rig. So he charges 10, sprints 7, then runs 14. And then you'll always want Silas to blah, blah, blah. And he basically goes in this giant paragraph of this terrible, terrible Rube Goldberg machine and Rydia fan posts. That's first day tactics, rookie.
Oh, man, those guys.
Call me when you're ready to have Wrong Eye bring a squid so the freebooter has reach.
Did you see the posted list where he goes... He's got the meme of the like, oh yeah, taking the sunglasses off and says, now that's what I call trash. Yeah! Excellent thread. Excellent thread.
Oh, God.
Fantastic.
What have we unleashed? I'm genuinely sorry.
I'm glad I put the gas back in Danny's.
You should tell
tank.
That to the mercenary forums, not to us.
I'm just sorry that we've unleashed Danny at all. Like, we've got him started back up. The troll machine has started again. It's the end of the world.
Someone eventually...
He's like a Lovecraftian horror. Like, is that yeah. That's the way you're talking about
it. The seventh seal is broken and Danny is unleashed.
Oh, my
again.
God. Everyone has to go look at this thread. Eventually someone posts, is this the new Focus in Fury? Yeah. The Rydia fans... Oh, my God. Time to enter Focus in Fury posting mode.
I see the list.
Talking about GIFs.
That's terrible.
Radio.
Just go see this thread. It's in the Merc boards.
It's titled on the big board.
Pretty sure I got this one right. Oh my God, it is glorious.
Yeah.
As soon as Rydia Fan goes into meme posting mode, everything gets better.
Why doesn't he do that on our boards?
He does every now and then.
I need that GIF for work, by the way.
He posted the chat all
the
time. Yeah.
And then Vitska's response to Rydia Fan's the trash meme list is, I think I have cancer. Answer now. Also, your list sucks, for it has no Gundren.
Character restrictions, man. This list is obviously paired with a Durgan Seer Force list.
This is probably the finest threat of the year. So
followed by crazy Durgan is supposed to be played in his theme. Primed AJC for the win.
If you primed high shields, they can use double
suck.
No,
read the whole thread.
So good. If you prime the high shields, they can use double time to get into melee faster. Learn to play, noob.
Oh my god.
Wow. Okay, Jesus Christ, Lance has saved us. In the end, Ridiafan is actually just posting random images.
And this concludes the worst episode we've ever made.
Oh. This thread is so good, though.
In describing this thread to someone, I stated that I had posted 4 animated GIFs in it. This was apparently a lie. I am posting the missing GIF plus a bonus one as penance.
What the? In case you need it, Lance, this is Josh.
Crump,
Chad,
John,
and Keith.
Oh my god.